Halloween, baby.
Doom, doom, doom. Cool. Halloween, baby. We're already recording. Oh, sure we are. Excellent. Hey, I got good news.
Yeah?
I got really good news.
Tell me.
As of today.
Yeah?
The Fairlawn Chick-fil-A is open again.
Oh.
I'm very excited about that.
I don't even know what they did to it.
They so Ainsley had a late one of those like delayed starts this morning.
Is this why you went?
It is.
Okay.
And so I'm like, well,
nobody
if I have
nobody believes that.
Yeah. It is actually.
You've been waiting in line since it closed. Oh,
now I'm not denying that. I'm just saying what a great excuse to go when you have to kill a morning or fill an extra morning. And what are you gonna do? Ironically, my kid is reading a ton, so she read probably an hour and a half of the 2 hour delay. Like, she just is reading like crazy. But anyway, took her to Chick-fil-A. It's nice inside. They redid like the whole inside, kind of updated it, modernized it. And then the one part that's not done, ironically, is like the after you put in your order side of the drive-through. They're like redoing that, but that's not quite, it's functional, but it's not quite done.
Yeah.
So I ran into the managers and Paul and all those folks.
I'm not addicted to Chick-fil-A like you are, Joe.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, that's okay.
I go there occasionally.
Yeah. It's technically, I only go there occasionally now.
Yeah, every...
Because when you can't go there for 3 months, it changes the average.
That's right.
No, yeah, it's just when I need a fast stop. Day,
if you added the 3 months, it was closed.
Right, yeah. It was not every... Okay, so thou shalt not lie. Well, we have an episode to get into today, and we even hinted on what the topic is.
Halloween.
Yeah. Well, thanks for checking out today's episode of Mixed Messages with Jeff Bogue, who doesn't go to Chick-fil-A all the time. My name is Joe Caruso. I do tend to go to Chick-fil-A too often, but we're all glad you're here, whether you do or not. With so many voices out there, the news, social media, even comedians and friends, it is tough to know what to think or how to make decisions. So we just want to help you out to sort through the noise and think through things in a way that allows us to cut through all the mixed messages around us and find the way of Jesus. So let's go ahead and get into it. Jeff, I know you don't have the good news of Chick-fil-A reopening, but like anything good in your life right now?
Yeah, we just had a grandbaby.
Yeah.
About a week or so ago. Hopefully I'll see her tonight. Little Mia is her name. She's adorable. They have a picture of her. I'll show it to you. You'll just have to describe it to the people. But the if you guys can think about what Baby Yoda looks like, the cuteness of Baby Yoda, am I wrong?
No, you're dead on. Yeah, I mean, obviously she's not green and she doesn't have the giant ears off the side of her head.
But she's
big old eyes.
Big old eyes.
Chubby cheeks.
And she's wrapped up in this blanket, and I'm telling you, she could pass as Baby Yoda. I have seen her levitate things. So
I saw this meme once where it was like, people always say that their babies are super cute, but let's be honest, your kid looks like a potato.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, that's a cute baby.
It's a cute baby.
That's a very cute baby. I'm not even telling you that because...
It's a solid baby.
Yeah. I'm like not trying to avoid offending you. That's actually a cute baby.
Yeah,
like,
it's fun. Good. So she's our second granddaughter. So Psalm is our first granddaughter, and then Mia. So the
you
Lord
guys really
is balancing
shifted.
Out the,
yeah.
I know, all boys to like... Now all these
like Naomi on the island, and now she's being rallied around.
She held the ground. Don't ever give up.
That's right.
Help is on the way.
Oh, that's so awesome. Man, happy for you guys. That's cool.
Yeah, it's
you
fun.
Should take in the Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, no.
All right. Well, we do have a question coming in from one of our listeners. They say, I've been wrestling with how Christians should approach Halloween. Some point to verses about not participating in evil, while others argue can be a lighthearted day focused on candy and community if you move the darker elements. As a parent, I'm unsure how to navigate this for myself and my kids. How should we think about participating in holidays like this in a way that honors Christ, or is that even possible?
That's an interesting question to ask. How do we do it in a way that honors Christ? Mm-hmm. Because I think you have to look at every holiday like that. So Christmas, mm-hmm. The celebration of Christmas has very little to do with the birth of Christ. Mm-hmm. You get into Santa and you get into gift giving Rudolph and It's a Wonderful Life and all those kind of things.
Yeah, the cynics out there love to say that every holiday is a pagan holiday, stuff like that.
Yeah, it is kind of, mm-hmm. Easter for sure is, like right. It was based off of a pagan holiday. But it's been redeemed, mm-hmm, is mm-hmm. the point I'm trying to make. And so Christmas, secular Christmas, has been redeemed. It can be redeemed. Easter, which was a pagan holiday, has been redeemed. A lot of what we would think of as traditions were pagan traditions that were redeemed. Mm-hmm. We do this with music. We do it with movies. We do it with television. Like, you could look and say, there's all this filthy stuff on cable, and then you could be like, but then The Chosen, mm-hmm. you know, so it's been redeemed. So I think that's, it's a pretty common thing that has happened. It's funny, a lot of the cathedrals, maybe a lot is an overstatement, several cathedrals in Rome were converted pagan temples. So this happened a lot, you know, over time. So I think you can take anything, maybe that's too strong of a statement, you can take a lot of things and you can redeem them, mm-hmm. things like a Halloween. So you can go redeem it by, like, going into, like, the fall festival mm-hmm. mindset. You know, we do that here at Grace, yep. we have Fall Fest. Kids come in costumes. Most of them are not gory. They're Spider-Man or whoever. Heidi just did this massive fall decoration at our house. So I feel like I'm walking into Hobby Lobby. You know.
She missed the memo. She thinks you guys are hosting our fall festival.
She's like, I mean, it's actually pretty amazing what she did.
I believe that.
And she had fun doing it. And I think she, you know, Heidi does all that. She spends, like, you know, $4 on it, you know, kind of thing. So it's kind of cool. So I think there's lots of ways. I think the fall season is a blast. We, for years at Grace Church, redeemed the Halloween season by doing a thing called Judgment House. Mm-hmm. We probably had 10,000 people accept Jesus through that event. It's old-fashioned and out of date now, but back in the day, it was a very effective tool. So I think that's what you have to look at. Halloween is a great way to meet your neighbors. It is a fun thing. I don't think it's a sin for your kids to get candy. I think, though, that where you really need to be on guard is when you get into the horror side of it and the spiritual horror side of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm a guy that likes movies. You do too. I'm not talking about suspense, you know. So I'm not talking about being on the edge of your seat. I'm talking about the glorification of demonic activity, the glorification of violence, the glorification of even Satan himself. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where it's an unredeemable thing. Yeah. And it's like you have to walk away from that. Now, I would feel that way about all kinds of things.
Sure.
Yep. You know, that there's a side of it that you can participate in, and it's amoral or it's redeemable. And then there's often an extreme where you cross a line and you're like, there's nothing of value over mm-hmm. there. And so I think you have to use wisdom and discernment, and you have to lay down those boundaries. This is a parent that asks this question, and so I'm like, it's one thing for your kids to watch The Great Pumpkin by Charlie Brown. It's another thing if you're showing them, you know, the movie The Nun, mm. you know? And so I'm like, I think as a family, you have to look and say, the fun element of it, the creative element of it is one thing. You could probably even talk about the spooky element, the Casper, the ghost, mm-hmm. the Harry Potter type things. And I'm like, those can be borderlines. Sure. Just depends on where you go with them. And then you get into parts of it that I just think are they're beyond fun, and they're irredeemable in places that we should stay away from. And you have to have discernment with all that.
Yeah, it is a incredibly tricky place, because the spiritual war of this is real, which is why you're saying those are irredeemable pieces. And the enemy's not trying to just say, hey, why don't you completely turn away from Jesus and follow me instead? He's trying to be crafty.
Yeah.
He's trying to get you distracted enough to pull away from what is good and get you focused on something that's completely irredeemable, if not completely detrimental.
Yeah, and one of the big schemes of the devil is what the Bible calls them, or the ploys of the mm-hmm. evil one, is he desensitizes us. Mm-hmm. And in our world today, it is very difficult to move past that callousness. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while it happens. I feel like the Charlie Kirk assassination, where you're watching a person kind of doing their thing, and then you can see the video of them being gunned down, that shocked our senses. Mm-hmm. Another person got stabbed, another person got robbed in Akron, mm-hmm. Got shot in Akron. We're desensitized to it. Well, it's silly to say that all the violence we see on television, all the violence of video games, all the violence of horror movies, it's foolish to say that that does not desensitize us.
Right.
So when you look at like all of the horrible, dark things that happen around us, and we don't care that much, that's a ploy of the evil one. It's almost to the point where if it didn't happen to me, I don't care at all. Mm-hmm. And it takes something as shocking as an assassination to break out of that. So I think as a family, like, you have to remember that. Like, that's all part of it. And Heidi and I, when we were raising the kids, we had limits on what they were allowed to watch, limits on the video games they were allowed to play. I had age limits. Like, I wouldn't let them watch the third Star Wars episode until they were 13, mm-hmm. because Anakin kills all the Jedis, you know. Now, I am fully aware, boys, as you're listening to this, I'm fully aware that you played these video games at other people's houses, that you snuck that movie in when you stayed with a friend. I'm not naive, but I wanted to put a standard in place, mm-hmm. and say, I can't stop everything, but I can stop things in my own home, mm-hmm. and I can stop what we do. So Heidi and I approached like Halloween that way. You know, we would, we'd have fun with it. And you could go as Anakin or a duck or one of the boys went as a pizza delivery guy. Mm-hmm. You know, these different outfits that they did. And it was fine. Mm-hmm. We went around. It was a neighborhood thing. All the neighbors were out. We were laughing. And my one son would go around. We lived in a small neighborhood, only had like 30 houses in it. So he'd go around, go home and change and go around again. You know, so we'd have fun with it. We would also do the same thing with Christmas. Like when the kids were little, we would play Santa Claus, all those kind of things. Now, interestingly, we would not do a lot with Easter because Heidi was actually she still feels very strongly about this. She's like, Easter's not a game. Mm. It's the crucifixion of our Lord. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't do the Easter bunny. And now we'd have an egg hunt, like we'd have fun, mm-hmm. you know, because the kids are little. But she was like, no, we're having serious talks. Mm-hmm. And she'd make resurrection cookies, this thing you can do with your kids, sure. and stuff like that. So it was just interesting. Like she mm-hmm. was like, that's a limit. Mm-hmm. And I was supportive of her. She's like, that's a limit, and we're not going past that limit, mm-hmm. you know, with things. And we'd play Santa, but like the kids knew. Mm-hmm. But like our tradition at Christmas is we always read the Christmas narrative before we open presents. Mm-hmm. And my dad did that, and then Heidi and I implemented that because we're like, this is fun. And let's not forget mm-hmm. what we're doing. You know, yep. we would always go to the Christmas Eve services, those kind of things. So I think Halloween's kind of the same thing, mm-hmm. that it's one thing to have fun, but it also would be a great opportunity to talk to your kids about spiritual warfare. Mm-hmm. Be a great opportunity to talk to them about why we have lines. Mm-hmm. Like there's a line of this is fun and now this is not. And that's mom and dad don't allow this. Mm-hmm. And that becomes... I know parents that don't allow their kids to watch or read Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, just explain to them why that's important mm-hmm. to you.
Yep.
You know, it's not a right or wrong. It's, in my view, it's to tell them why. Mm-hmm. And the same thing when I was a teenager, I was allowed to go to the movies. I was not allowed to go to horror movies, and I was not allowed to see rated R movies. Mm-hmm. And if I had been being a booger back then, my dad would say, I want to see your ticket stub. Mm. You know, so he's like, you're not earning your freedom right now. So those limits were put on, and that's, I think that's how we've tried to, it's how Heidi and I tried to approach sure. all these things.
Yeah, we, growing up, a lot of that stuff affected me in a kind of like you said, I went over to the friend's house kind of a deal. I remember going over to, I was about 8 years old, and I went over to a friend's house, and the mom, this goes back to what you're exposing your kids to and all that kind of stuff, was watching Poltergeist.
Yeah.
And we were playing outside in the backyard. We come in. Mom says, why don't you guys sit down and watch a movie with us? Okay. I'm eight. I trust my friend's mom. Jeff, I probably had nightmares about that movie for 3 years. I mean, the straight up, like the stuff coming out of the ground, the stuff coming out of the TV, like ripping off. I mean, it hit me hard. And the thing is, like, well, I feel like oftentimes the excuse is, well, it's all fake. Like, that you're overblowing it. I'm like, but the concept of the demonic trying to destroy your life is not.
Yeah.
And so even if, sure, the scene is fake, but that does, the unseen world is trying to do that kind of stuff so that now you are having nightmares, maybe because of some of that spiritual attack.
Yeah, you think about Ouija boards, mm-hmm. and you think about the witching chants, mm-hmm. and those kind of things. The stuff is real, and it is gateways and introductions to the demonic, and the Bible is so clear that our battle is not against flesh and blood. The spiritual world is more real, so to say, than the physical world is. Mm-hmm. And so you just have to be, like, aware of that. And, like, I remember, I think one of the things that happens is as an adult, I don't remember how, like, movies, for instance, affected me. I just think, oh, that was a good movie. So, like a movie that I did not let my kids watch until they were teenagers was Raiders of the Lost Ark, Temple of Doom.
Oh, yeah.
There is chanting. There is spiritualism. It's actually a very dark movie.
It is, yeah.
And so I remember seeing it, like in my, after the kids were born, I probably just stayed up late, watched it one night. And I'm like, I kind of forgot mm-hmm. that is like that. And there's other movies like that. There's some of the Harry Potter stuff, especially as it goes later on in the series, mm-hmm. gets very dark. And there's redemptive arcs in it, mm-hmm. you know, that are fun to talk about. But when you think about a seven-year-old watching that.
Right.
Now, Poltergeist and Nightmare on Elm Street and the nuns and, there's nothing there. It's just like, it's just junk. And there's no reason to introduce that into.
Well, I mean, Jeff, I might be as bold as, I don't want to tell people what to do necessarily all the time, but I'm not sure as an adult there's any redeeming quality in that stuff either.
And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and if you don't think it's a big deal, that probably says more about how desensitized you are to this than it does about, quote unquote, your maturity or whatever. Like, and I'm not trying to put anybody on the defensive, but every time I've had a conversation about someone that loves horror movies, when I try to draw out why, the answers are never exciting to me. I'm like, oh, that worries me that that's why you like that stuff.
So there's this concept that we use a lot in Christendom called discernment. Mm-hmm. And you take the same idea, you apply it to music. Mm-hmm. There's some Billy Joel songs that are great. There are actually some that are filthy if you listen to the lyrics.
Yep.
There's some secular music that's benign. And then there's like the Alice Coopers of the world. Like there's nothing redeeming mm-hmm. about them or valuable. Television is like that. There is American Pickers and there is The Office. And then there's like Game of Thrones. And mm-hmm. there's nothing redeeming about mm-hmm. Game of Thrones. Nothing. Mm-hmm. And there's no way that you can fast forward through a bad scene. Every scene's a bad scene. Mm-hmm. There's movies out that seem good, and then you find out that there's irredeemable things in them. The biggest one recently is Oppenheimer.
Oh, yeah.
I went to see that movie, and I'm like, why are there naked people? Like, where? Like, there's no warning. It wasn't like a sex scene. Mm-mm. It was like they were he was giving a Senate testimony. Now there's naked. And so, like, I'm like, okay, I didn't know. I didn't have a way to see it was coming. I will never watch that movie again. Mm-hmm. It's just the way that it is. And so that's what I mean. Like, it's – you have to – there's things that have absolutely no redemption to them, things that are maybe benign. There are things that catch you off guard. That,
sure.
You know, it's like I get that very much so. But I don't need to own it in my library.
Right.
You know, I don't think all secular music is satanic, but I think much of it is sexualized and much of it is anti-God. And much of it isn't, it's not what you think it is. I'll give you a good example of this is Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA is a anti-America song. But we only think about it as a pro-America song. And that's where I'm like, use discernment, like listen, actually listen to it. Mm-hmm. Don't just repeat the one phrase. Well, the same thing plays out in Halloween and in Christmas and Easter and, you know, whatever, Labor Day, you know.
Sure.
You don't remove yourself from the world, but you approach the world with what Paul calls a sobriety. Like I'm aware of what's happening around me. And then I'm choosing how I'm allowing my family to be exposed and how we're going to interact with all that.
Yeah, and I think it's important that our listeners understand, especially if this feels like a new conversation, this is not about Christians drawing lines. This isn't about being a prude. This is about the impact that things have on our lives spiritually and what it does to us internally. Like Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actual darkness, how deep that darkness is. And what he's saying is the things that you allow into your body change basically the health, your spiritual health of what you're doing, how you interpret things, how you see things, understand things. And if you've gotten to the place that you're so dark on the inside that you think it's light, he's like, oh, now you're in like deep darkness.
Yeah.
And that's what we're getting at is we don't have to do these things just because the culture says they're okay. You're impacting your ability to be a healthy follower of Christ and a healthy person, a healthy family.
It's a great point, Joe, because almost everything we've talked about is not necessary for life.
Yeah,
like you cannot sell, you cannot not celebrate. Like you can choose not to celebrate Halloween, and like November 1st will be just fine. Mm-hmm. You know, you can choose to not go see a movie, and like you're gonna be fine. This is not like how do I navigate my job, or what do I do with a family that's anti-God. What we're talking about mostly are choices, mm-hmm. and what I'm choosing to bring into my life, and what I'm choosing to keep out of it.
If the whole spiritual warfare side of this conversation is new to you, some of our staff actually just had an email back and forth about this like a week ago. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you have good resources on spiritual warfare? And one of the ones that came up was The Invisible War by Chip Ingram. I don't know how familiar you are with that, but
book.
A lot of our pastors and directors and leaders suggested that resource. And so, again, if this feels like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Why would this be a big deal? There's a spiritual, like this might be a great resource. And then specifically Ephesians 6, Paul just very clearly says the battle is spiritual. And so we have to put on the armor of God. And that's not a flannel graph that you do in Sunday school. That's Paul being very serious. Like,
yeah.
How do we guard ourselves against these spiritual attacks? So back to Halloween, Jeff.
Yes.
Like give us a couple closing thoughts on kind of how to navigate this a little bit. And I think we went far deeper than we probably expected to, but I hope this is incredibly helpful so far.
I think you and your family having the conversation is a key, mm-hmm. and develop a conviction.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, develop a conviction, but just don't kind of blindly go into things. And then I would also say, like, put lines in your life. That depends on who you are, depends on what your personal convictions are. A lot of times it depends on your past pain, how you perceive all those kind of things, and put those lines in your life. And then instead of judging other people, have the conversations about not what they should not do, but why you do what you do do. Mm-hmm. And there's ground to be gained relationally. Mm-hmm. When you walk up to a neighbor who's got a 15-foot skeleton in their front yard, you can look at them and say, you're a pagan, or you can look at them and say, hey, why'd you put a 15-foot skeleton in your front yard? And so you just,
what do you like about Halloween?
Redeem it all. Now, here's the thing about Halloween, second largest holiday next to Christmas.
It is, yep.
So it's not going away. And it's one of those things, as Christ followers, we have to look and say, how do we show up? Mm-hmm. And how do we redeem? How do we build relationships? If you want to meet your neighborhood, have candy at your house. You know, and so there's ways to take advantage, even without celebrating. You may not even celebrate it, but it's just a way. You may not decorate. You may not do whatever. Or you may do like Heidi did and just do fall. But you can still give out candy, and you'll meet your neighbors, and that can be a wonderful thing.
And that's a big reason why we do the Fall Fest. I mean, I think maybe especially in the Midwest, we love the fall. People are always looking for an activity.
That's the most beautiful time of year.
Absolutely love it. Yeah. And so as a church, like, how can we redeem this season to connect with our neighbors?
Yeah.
Like, we're not doing Fall Fest so our people have a fun time this fall. We've literally told them, you should bring your friends.
Yeah.
It's a great opportunity to make those connections because they're looking for something to do too.
Yeah.
So that's really great. Well, if as our listeners, if you have follow-up questions you'd like to ask, or maybe something got sparked in this you'd like to dig into, you can head over to bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages and send them our way. We'd also love to hear how these conversations are helping you. So again, don't be a stranger. Reach out, let us know, and let us know how you're processing and wrestling with these things. If you're enjoying the podcast, make sure to subscribe, follow, rate, and review to help others find it too. And of course, we'd love to see you at Grace on the weekend, or maybe even at our Fall Fest. If you're going to listen to this tomorrow, which that would be October 2nd,
tomorrow?
Come out. That's when it drops. Tomorrow. Well,
will
if
the
you're
sun
listening...
come out tomorrow? You know, I love you.
Well,
tomorrow.
You know, we talk in real time.
It's only a day away.
If you if you're listening to this on October 2nd or 3rd or 4th, join us on the 4th or 5th this Saturday and Sunday for our Fall Fest. We're so glad that you were here listening to all the mixed messages and how we cut through that with God's voice and all those things. And I messed up that last line, but you're tracking me. You're following along, and we will see you next time.